turning to the people next to you and just saying hello, and maybe just introducing yourself, that would be good. Especially people at the back. That's good. Wouldn't want you to not have the opportunity to have some connection. It's connection with God and connection with each other. And the theme that I'm exploring with you this evening from God's Word is the theme of praise. Just a small theme, probably the most important subject we could ever address, and feel very inadequate to speak on this theme. But I would want to say thank you to all the musicians and the leaders of our praise. Every single week, they are thinking about this from Monday morning. And I'm thinking about it probably about Tuesday, Wednesday. But they do such a wonderful work. And we're looking as a church at the spiritual pressure that comes whenever we do something for God. And if the Bible tells us that there's nothing more important than worship, and therefore, if you're involved in preparing worship, you shouldn't be surprised if you come under pressure. And I'm so grateful to God that I've experienced a lot of unity in the last 5 years that I've been here as pastor. And I have to say that's not always the case in churches, and I'm not complacent about that. Who knows what little storms might come up in the future. But I just want to say thank you publicly to all of the teams and all of the leaders, because they put in a tremendous amount of work every week, tremendous amount of prayer, very sensitive work, trying to hear from God, choosing appropriate songs, trying to communicate with other members of the team, like the service leader, like myself as a preacher often, and we're all trying to hear from God. And we need a lot of grace in that process, because sometimes we hear from God at different points in the week, and we all adjust to each other. And so, again, a huge thank you. And the reason I emphasize that is because I find that praying with others and worshiping with others helps me to grow. I'm so glad that I don't have to do it on my own. I would say that most of the things that I've learned about the subject of praise has come from other Christians that I've been praising with, and they've shown me things that I hadn't seen before. Of course, I see things in God's Word, but perhaps like you, sometimes we know the words, but we don't feel them in our hearts. And I grew up in the Free Church, and we used to sing the Psalms as a child every week. And I have to say that leaving home at 18, I probably knew one or two in my heart, maybe Psalm 23 and Psalm 121, and maybe Psalm 40 as well. That's 3 out of 150. So I don't know if you can do the maths. That's 147 psalms that just kind of went in one ear and out the other. I knew the tunes. And then now, over the years, I've come to learn that there's this richness in the psalms, particularly of praise language. And if I was to say to you tonight, hallelujah! Thank you. Do you know that comes from the Psalms? It's the Hebrew for praise the Lord. And quite a lot of the Psalms begin with hallelujah, and they finish with hallelujah. But in our English Bibles, it has the words, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And sometimes, tonight is, I do have a message, by the way, but I often think it's good to ground this in stories as well. Because a lot of my message has been influenced by people who have written books on praise, because they've taught me so much. So what I'm sharing just now is my own experience of trying to grow in praise. Probably the most memorable lesson I learned in praise was when our youth worker, which is very interesting, on a day when the youth worker applications are, today is the closing date. But I remember, as the pastor of the church, not that I'm big on titles, I think you know that, but I was the pastor of the church, and the youth worker taught me how to praise God, because she knew far more about that than I did. And that's the truth. And she did this children's talk one day, but it wasn't really a children's talk, it was an all-age talk, and she said, let's write down all the names for God. And she had the flip chart, and people were shouting out. We did it recently at a prayer meeting, if you were there, and had a wonderful time. Well, she did this, and she filled the flip chart, and then she led us in praise. And there I was as the pastor, just learning from her. And that afternoon, I was so moved by that service that I decided not to go home that afternoon, and I stayed in my office at church and continued praising God, because she had helped me to get started. And this idea of praising God, hallowed be thy name, I started praising God. And not that I particularly want to emphasize personal experience, but I did have a spiritual experience. And in the middle of that praise time in my office, I had a picture of a rainbow. And written on the rainbow was the word adoration. And I was just so overcome with who God was, and almost like a rainbow talks about the multicolored beauty of God, doesn't it? And then, being an evangelical, I thought, well, I wonder if there's anything in the scriptures about rainbows. So I went on a Bible study of rainbows. And I found in Ezekiel chapter 1, speaks about a vision of heaven. And it says this, towards the end of Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel's vision, he says, there was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. So this vision of Christ is like the appearance of a rainbow. in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says these words about Jesus. It says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, like Ezekiel, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Adoration, praise. Words are not enough, but thank God that he has words for us in the scriptures. So I want to speak on the challenge of praise, the reason for praise, the benefits of praise, and the practicalities of praise. And I want to give particular credit to a man called Mark Stibbe, who's written a book on this, and it greatly helped me in preparing for tonight. If there's anything really good about this sermon, it's probably from Mark Stibbe. But one of the things that Mark Stibbe brings out in his book on the temple model of prayer, he speaks about the court of praise. He says in Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and enter his courts with praise. Just love watching the little boy running around. And we sang one of the songs there, which was, we are singing the angel's songs. Do you remember that song? Hazel, tell me how it goes. How does it go? We're singing the angel songs. And we're like children in our Father's arms. Do you remember we were singing that 10 minutes ago as a wee boy was running around? And it just spoke to me about the fact that Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we're to come to him like children, and children don't sit still, do they? But that's okay for our Heavenly Father. He just delights the fact that we're in his presence, as we delight that the wee boy's here tonight. Father just delights that we're in his presence. And sometimes when we come to church, it's like stand up, sit down, do this, do that. And when we want to stand up, we're told to sit down. And when we want to sit down, we're told to stand up. But God is just delighted that we are in his presence. And so, what is the challenge of praise then? The challenge of praise is the limitations of language. It's not difficult to rattle off phrases to God. It's a bit more challenging to mean them in the heart. That's why Jesus says, Don't babble on meaningless phrases. And we all do it, don't we? Didn't mean to be looking at you there, David. But we all do it. We all do it. Sometimes we're in church and we realize we're just somewhere else. Our mind is somewhere else, but we're singing these words. But to actually sustain loving concentration on our Heavenly Father is a challenge, isn't it? The other thing that's a challenge is when we come together in public prayer, and perhaps the leader of the prayer meeting says, let us praise God for who He is. And we just think, well, I can't do that. I just wouldn't know where to start. And so we say, I'd like to pray for so-and-so. Because it's easier. It's easier to pray for someone we know. That's why we find it easier to pray for our sick and struggling friends than we find to praise God, because we know our friends better than we know God. So that's why when we say let's praise Him for who He is, that's, we've not really stopped to think that deeply recently. Maybe we did one day, but recently we haven't stopped to think about who He is. Or perhaps it's easier to thank God for what He's done. Because how can you not thank God for creating us and for creating a beautiful world and for forgiving us and for sending His Son to die on the cross? These are wonderful things. And God loves our thanksgiving. God loves our intercession. God loves everything about our prayer life that's in the Lord's Prayer, every part of it. But the bit that we find hardest is hallowed be thy name. Holy, holy is your name. That's what it means, holy. And the word holy is a word which is not really used today, is it? Holy. You know, as I was preparing to preach tonight, I actually got a recollection of the story in the Old Testament of the guy who was holding the Ark of the Covenant, remember, and he dropped it, and he got struck dead. And I thought, better be careful what I'm preaching here tonight. Quite seriously. Hallowed be thy name. And God, who is all perfect, and just and true. And when I was about 12 or 13, can't remember exactly, it was not long after I'd prayed the prayer to become a Christian, didn't tell anyone my little secret for about 10 years. But I remember at a Scripture Union meeting, this person held up this book called A.W. Tozer, Knowledge of the Holy. Best book I've ever read. So I bought it and I read it. And it had really accessible chapters like the infinite nature of God, the eternal being of God. It talked about the fact that God is our creator and he's so much greater and he's so much higher than us. Some easier concepts as well, like the justice of God and the love of God. But vocabulary is difficult. And we're grateful to the Bible for giving us vocabulary. So if that's the challenge of praise, we don't want to leave you with the challenge. We want to move on and give you some help tonight. I promise you'll get some help. I won't leave you there. Perhaps you might be here tonight thinking, why? Why should we praise God? Why should we praise God? Because it's commanded. Okay. And that's a really good reason. But lots of Christians have asked the question down through the ages, why does God need to be praised? Most famously, C.S. Lewis wrestled with this issue. He said that he was a little agitated by the persistent demand, especially in the Psalms, that we all praise God. What made it even worse is that God himself called for praise of God himself. What kind of God is he who incessantly demands that his people tell him how great he is? Is this little better than the vain person demanding compliments? He says, we want a God who's focused on us, not focused on himself. And how can God love me, said C.S. Lewis, if all his infinite energy is expended in the love of himself? Are you allowed to ask difficult questions as a Christian? Is that a bit irreverent? Well, we all ask difficult questions, but not all of us write books about it. He writes books about it. And people have found this helpful because he worked the problem through. He came to understand that it is in the process of being worshipped and praised that God communicates his presence to us. One of the phrases I learned as a young child, which I didn't really understand, but I knew it was important, was man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That we're actually called to live our lives for the glory of God, but also to enjoy him. And what Lewis came to understand was that we come to enjoy God in the act of praising him. I'm just going to read a little bit more of C.S. Lewis. He says, the world rings with praise, lovers praising each other, readers their favorite poet, walkers praising the countryside, players praising their favorite game, praise of the weather, of wines, of dishes, of actors, of motors, of horses, of colleges, countries, and so on. The psalmists, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. So, I get really excited when Newcastle United get a draw. Not a win, but a draw. And I tell my family about it. Another point. Did you see that goal on Match of the Day? Because I'm admiring the goal scorer, and I'm also taking pleasure in that which I care about a little, not a lot, but a little. And I'm sure you can think of examples in your life where you do the same, whether it's classical music or whether it's a beautiful view from in the Highlands. And C.S. Lewis is saying as if we express praise for the things we value, why would we not express praise for that person who is of ultimate value? Because we actually enjoy telling people, I'm not a grandfather yet, but when grandchildren are born, it is a lot of photographs, a lot of joy, and a lot of talking about the grandchildren. And you cannot stop the grandparents exulting in their grandchildren. And they're enjoying telling you because this grandchild is so precious to them. So that person who is most valuable to us, God knows that we need to express our value in song, in words. How great thou art. You know that wonderful hymn, How Great Thou Art. Is that just for him, or is that for us as well? Do we not need to come on a Sunday morning and maybe we're a bit tired and maybe a bit anxious, maybe a bit distracted, and then suddenly you've got several hundred people singing out, How Great Thou Art, and you go, wow, yeah. And he's with us, and he died for us. See how it works? Is that God commands us to praise him out of love because he's made us for his presence, and he draws near to us, and we draw near to him through praise. It's out of love. So, final quote from C.S. Lewis. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is the appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed. It is frustrating to have discovered a new author and not to be able to tell anyone how good he is. To come suddenly at the turn of the road upon some mountain valley of unexpected grandeur, and then to have to keep silent because the people with you care for it no more than a tin can in the ditch. To hear a good joke and to find no one to share it with. So he's telling us that the God's pursuit of our praise of him is not weak self-seeking, but the epitome of self-giving love. So that's the reason for praise. We talked about the challenge of praise and the reason for praise, and now the benefits of praise. Mark Stibbe tells a story of when he was visiting a man who was suffering with depression. He had received a lot of counseling,